This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Unpack your knives and stay. Yes, stay. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Top Chef for Hap Up, the penultimate of season 20. And I am Haley Strong. I am here. I am not just leaving the podcast after a announcement on Instagram. Neither are you, Kurt Clark, right?
Like Suni Lee. I'm like, so now that you've podcasted, do you think you're going to podcast more? No, less, much less.
Well, Tanya, welcome back.
We have to discuss the elephant in the room, which is that Padma is leaving Top Chef.
Yeah, I would say right after the episode on, or maybe it was like Friday morning or something. Maybe it was Saturday. I don't know. Every day is the same. She put on her Instagram that after season 20, she is retiring from Top Chef hosting to focus on her other projects. And I was like shook in a way I haven't been in a very long time.
It's hard to envision. I'm sure that like,
we could just watch season one again and see what it was like without Padma.
I don't want to though.
No, I don't.
Know. I really don't want to. Do you think it's going to be one of those things where they get like some hot up and coming, like person of color to fill in the spot, or are they just going to elevate Gail?
I think probably elevate Gail and then have somebody move into that second judge's spot. Okay. I think at that point, that would be a really great opportunity to get a person of color in there who, you know, is in the food world as well. Mm-hmm. My other
anti-diversity casting.
Other person I would like to throw my weight behind as host is somebody like Kristen Kish. Who definitely has some food host or food show hosting under her belt. So I would either love Gail to move to that spot and have somebody move into the third spot, or have Kristen Kish and then keep Gail and Tom where they are. But that's me.
I like Gail and Tom in the roles that they're in currently. And I'd kind of like to see, you know, an up and comer person of color be in that hosting spot. Cause I feel like there is something just so kind of like all-encompassing and international in a lot of ways about Padma and her, like what her aura and like what she brings to the competition. And it's different the way that she does things than the way Gail does things, because we've seen glimpses of that in Last Chance Kitchen, which I know you could speak to, Kurt.
Yeah, and I think my mind was going exactly where yours was. I think that the vibe we would want for a host, it's very much a Padma-like vibe. I think she gives off a good host vibe. And I know Gail is hosted with, I think, the desserts version. But I think that I'd rather... At first, I was like, I would love Gail to host. I love Gail. Yeah. But I think I would rather have a fresh face with more of a Padma-like vibe to it.
Yeah. So are you looking for more of like a true host with like some food background rather than maybe like a chef who has done some light hosting.
You know what? I'm easy.
I've heard that about you.
I'd like to throw a name in the ring that I know hasn't gotten very much play, but one LaTanya Starks might be exactly what this little franchise needs. No, I'm just kidding. I'd embarrass them in so many different ways immediately.
You just hit on all of like the guest judges.
I know how to behave myself. I know how to behave on camera around other people while keeping it like fun and jovial. Okay. Yeah. I spend way too much time around like high school students and like young college students to not know how to keep my shit together.
That's fair.
Although I was rewatching Judge's Table today, and you know, we can talk about this a little bit more when we get to it, but you know, they're having a real hard decision to, you know, determining who was the last person to go through to the finale. And Gail was like kind of put her foot down in a way I've not seen Gail do it before. She's like, we need to make a decision. And then she said, well, in the immortal words of my good friend Padma Lakshmi, and I forgot what it was that she said.
I know exactly what you mean, because I didn't watch
the episode. Let's bring him back in here
I didn't watch the episode until last night. So I had already, like, before watching the episode, I had known about that. And I really, like, picked up on that moment and was like, Gail, you are, I think Padma whispered this to you, and you are trying for the main role.
She's running, everybody. She's running. I don't know. I just really, I wonder if they were to bring someone into that slot, who that person would be. Because one of the great things about Padma is the diversity that she brings to the hosting, but also to judging, and then almost the worldliness and just like knowledge of all different types of cuisines that she brings. It's a really tall order to fill Padma's Louboutins.
Yeah, I agree. I'm like really devastated to be losing her as the host. I think she's just incredible. I think she's probably honestly the best reality TV host across the board.
Yeah, I agree.
I just can't see like, you know, now we have chefs who are like, oh, you know, I'm not going to cook food from India when I know Padma is going to be like, we're not going to get a point where it's like, oh, I'm not cooking poutine, you know, now that Gail is going to be on the judging pad. It's not quite the same thing.
No, not quite the same. Or what is the thing that she loves? The Scotch egg, is it? Or
no
the Welsh rabbit.
Welsh rarebit.
I said rabbit. How embarrassing for me.
Listen, that's what I thought it was until this season of Top Chef. So I'm not going to hold it against you.
I appreciate it.
Well, we'll just have to keep our eyes on the news and see, you know, who gets floated up. And I can see there being given that they filmed this last one like in September, if that's what they're, you know, targeting again, I'm guessing that the production has had to have known for a while and kept under wraps. I imagine. I don't think Padma, you know, sprung it on everybody, including production, like just last week. So I'm hoping the search has begun. I mean, I could see there potentially being an interim hosting season where it is like, I mean, I could see it being treated a little bit like Portland.
Yeah.
Maybe do you have like a rotating crew of guests, like, you know, this quick fire, instead of Padma kicking it off, it's Amar or Dawn or Brooke. You know, do you kind of rotate people through heading up the different challenges? Like, I could see that there would be a season of that. That could be fun.
Or it could be a disaster.
Hell yeah. I mean,
but you possible. Never know until you try.
Exactly. Yeah, it's only a true failure if you fail to learn from it.
Let's get into this episode. We're in Paris.
Everyone knows French all of a sudden.
You wouldn't think that from the from their time grocery shopping.
You know what? Yeah. I have taken many years of French, et cetera, et cetera. How they grocery shopped was like when I was in France, like me trying to speak French, like I'd be able to get one line out and then they'd hit me back with more French and I'd be like, okay, can we switch to English now? Thank you for like entertaining this.
Yeah. Doesn't everyone speak English? Like, I mean, aren't we the ones that are the problem?
Yeah, we are the problem. They definitely speak English. They don't like to.
They don't like to. Yeah.
They get mad when you try. Okay, so quick fire challenge, coach your teammate to create identical dishes without being able to see each other. It's the wall challenge. We've seen this before a few times. But this time, it's not family members. No, 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 no. We have Olympians. LaTanya, you love Olympians.
I'm like, the fact that this is the first event that I've seen on television that's just kind of like ushered forth the fact that the Olympics are happening next year. I'm so excited. The Olympics, even when I was fully hospitalized for the entirety of the last Olympics, which felt like my hopes and dreams at the same time because of everything that was going on with Simone Biles and her inability to compete due to her mental health struggles. But I was like deep in the ICU for the entirety of the Olympics. And still was like keeping up with the Olympic time zone because that's just how much I care about the Olympics. I just kind of switched to whatever their time zone is for however long for the fortnight. So when I found out that this challenge, like I recognized all of these people, I was so excited about it. And I felt like very alone in that. And that I was just alone cheering for these Olympians, not doing anything related to the Olympics at all, but cooking very messily on the side of one side of a wall.
It, putting your absolute adoration for Olympians aside, mm-hmm. were they the right choice to have participate in this challenge?
No.
Okay.
Like when you say no, do you mean there's other Olympians that could have done it? Or Haley, is your question coming more from a place of should it have been Olympians at all?
Yeah. Okay. Should it have been somebody who has some competency like in
who's
cooking?
Ever seen an ingredient before?
Yeah. Like do you know what a leek is on site? Then right. You are qualified to participate in this challenge. You know what? And I'm fine with, okay, I get it. Cause it's Paris, et cetera, et cetera. Like let's suspend some disbelief. If this is like episode one or two, I'm fine with people not being able to know how to cook to be on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the second to last episode. Yeah. And I know it's not like for immunity. It's not for the winning prize. It's not. But it is like kind of like cutting them off at the knees. Like
yeah.
right before the final.
Which, oh, I loved it. Give me more.
Yeah, but you love chaos.
It was so chaotic that I thought that you might like it. But it was starting to stress me out a little bit at the point when they were like, okay, grab the poblano. And Suni's like, what's that? Grab the leek. Is that pointy? Is that
the And there was only one? Like seven vegetables there. It's not like they had the whole stocked pantry. No.
It was really bad. I want to see Suni Lee succeed in so many things. She had to quit gymnastics at Auburn in order to start training again for, well, that's kind of true. Part of it is that she had to start training again for the 2024 Olympics. But another part of it is that she has some type of kidney disorder that is has kept her from training for some time. So I'm just hopeful that she is able to actually come back and be competitive because the last like several months of her time that she would have spent in her last competitions for NCAA, she missed because of this kidney problem.
Damn.
So I was just happy to see her there in Paris alive and walking around.
Fair and reasonable. So Suni Lee, I would say, is for me the biggest name there. We also have Sydney McLaughlin Lavrone, Hunter Woodall, and Mallory Wegman. And they were on the other side and they had to be directed by their top chef partner on to what to cook. And
Oh, sorry. When Padma said, "Who here's ever participated in the wall challenge?" And I don't know if I've been like poisoned by Big Brother, where all I could think of was
like they're gonna stand on a wall.
Like, they're gonna stand there like half like it's an endurance challenge. Like, I didn't know what was meant by the wall challenge until they pulled back and I saw I remember now, but I didn't. This wasn't like the mise en place relay to me. This wasn't a staple. It feels like or an ingredient tasting challenge. Mm-hmm. This one feels like it was one that we get a lot less frequently and isn't necessarily a mainstay of the Top Chef challenge, smorgasbord.
So I feel like I have no memory of this ever happening before.
I just remember from the season that Brooke won. John Tazar, his wife was on the other side of the wall, and he's like completely not recognizing her voice. And I think he came under a lot of fire online. Like, how could you not know your? And it was just interesting, just dynamic through that season. So that's the last one I really remember. But I did figure that they were anticipating it would be family members.
Yeah.
And Buddha's like, "Well, this isn't a family member."
Yep. Never heard this voice in my entire life.
And everyone I know knows what an asparagus is or whatever.
Yeah.
Leek.
Yeah. So it was a little bit of a difficult challenge. Buddha and Hunter made a cauliflower puree with bacon, croutons, leeks, and capers. I thought like Hunter was a good partner, but Buddha seemed to be like losing patience with our good friend Hunter there. We had Gabri and Suni, and they made roasted baby corn with pine nuts and poblano sauce, and they were in the bottom with that. That is not a surprise. They were two agents of chaos. Yeah. Also, I don't know if I've ever talked about it on the podcast. Maybe I have. I hate looking at baby corn. Like, it grosses me out to look at it.
Mm.
Like, it creeps me out. I can't. I've never eaten it. Like, I can't. I can't deal with it.
Do you? You know you don't have to eat it, like...
No, I know, but I don't like.
For those who don't have the video feed, I just mimed.
You cobbed it.
Eating a very tiny cob of corn, no. like if you were a rabbit or something.
I love the cobbing it. Let's all cob it.
Imagine a elote with baby corn.
Okay, like, I have to move on to the next dish. Ali and Mallory made potato leek soup with creme fraiche, and I thought he approached this very smart, which was to make a soup and to measure every ingredient. Yes. And so he could tell Mallory the exact measurements. And that was like obviously a genius way to do it because he was in him and Mallory won. And then Sarah and Sydney made spiced chicken with sweet and sour cauliflower and herb salad. And based on like the cook part of the challenge, I really thought they were going to be on the top because Sarah was the most calm about the situation. I thought she made a great point where over COVID, she did a lot of like online cooking classes. So this doesn't feel that different.
This chicken looks so dry. Like it was just screaming out for some kind of liquid or sauce.
It was hilarious when Sarah picked up her chicken and it looked like beautifully browned and everything, and then Sydney picked up hers and I was like, "Ooh, I would send that back."
I had like a small like moment when Sarah described like not just like she was doing cooking classes but that she donated all the proceeds to her employees during COVID. I was like,
Yeah, it was really hilarious when they finally did the reveal to see Gabri be like, I was just screaming at an Olympic gold medalist.
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with me?
I wonder how much of like Sarah was the calmest. Mm-hmm. I think she would have been calm with everybody. But whereas I think that regardless of who Buddha and Gabri got, I think they would have been frustrated. And and Ali was somewhere like in between. I was just like, and I don't know if it was the editing, but the whole, like they couldn't hear each other at the beginning, it seemed like.
No.
Yeah.
That was frustrating me more than anything.
Well, it also like annoyed me that Mallory didn't have like an adaptive table. Like she was like working like up here.
Yeah.
And when Ali opened the window, he like looked straight and then he was like,
I was wondering what,
oh,
yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
And also how much of the, he was the only chef Destin who described the dish. Is that why they won? Probably not. But
like describe the dish to Mallory or describe?
No, the judges. So, sorry. When the dish was presented to the judges, all the Olympians except for Mallory presented the dish.
I mean, I
call bowls.
I would give any win to Ali. So I think I'm too biased to answer that question.
Yeah. Just really happy to have Ali around talking about putting the Ali in finale once again.
Unfortunately, we won't be able to do that.
We will not be doing that at all until he inevitably shows up to sue for someone.
Oh, but,
I thought you meant like lawsuit.
Oh, yes.
The sue chef. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't wait until he's until we get the freebie TV show that's just Ali suing all of the chefs from Top Chef 20.
I love that for me.
I can see there being a like culinary based legal drama called Sous Chef. No?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm there for it.
It's a Monday night. I don't know if I can amp myself up for Sous Chef.
I can. I'm with you.
Thank you.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
All right, the elimination challenge, folks. It's our last elimination challenge. How do we feel?
Like it all feels like everything went very quickly. But at the same time, it feels like we've been doing this podcast for like 6 years at this point. I've enjoyed every bit of it. I'm not saying that it's been bad. It just really feels like we've been doing this for quite a while. But
yeah,
everything went really quickly. At the same time, time doesn't work well. Like, time doesn't make any sense.
No, and they also, like, I feel, I don't know if it was, like, in a preview or a post-view or whatever, but there was, some, like, some of the chef testants who were, like, went out at the beginning, and I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about you. Like, it's just, you know. Create an elevated dish featuring champignons de Paris. We're going to the catacombs, baby.
Yeah. I love the description of these mushrooms when they were just like, they were first noticed growing on the top of horse poop. So everyone immediately thought, yes, let's eat that.
I was unsettled by when they just straight up put the mushrooms in their mouth.
Yeah. The best way to eat them is raw, is what the French guy who I guess lives in the catacombs.
That sounds say magnifique, but I will not be participating in that activity.
No. Please wash these and your hands vigorously before serving them to me.
But I do love a challenge where we just focus on one ingredient, especially if it's kind of like a local ingredient. We're hyping that up. Big fan of that. I like this challenge. I like it. It's mushrooms. It's simple. Like, cook mushrooms. I love that. That's great. Yeah,
so many different. I remember a couple seasons ago we had the mushroom focused challenge where there was like, I think that was Portland as well, where it was kind of a foraging challenge.
Oh, and yeah. Yep.
The And your point about the mushrooms and the horse poop would maybe think of this tweet that I saw from several years ago, where it was like, can't stop thinking about people that first ate mushrooms they found and just had to go through trial and error of like, this one tastes like beef, this one killed Brian immediately, and this one makes you see God for a week.
Yeah.
Like, who eats these things?
Oh boy.
I love mushrooms.
Yeah.
I'm a recent convert to mushrooms within the last few years, I'd say.
Okay. Yeah. I've kind of like, I've even been one of those people who will eat mushrooms when there's like a mushroom recall. I'm just like going on faith, baby. God would never let anything happen to me.
Well, Tanya,
mushroom-related capacity.
I love you, but if you are eating recalled mushrooms,
I wasn't eating like the specific brand that was recalled. You are
probably eating horse poo mushrooms. Like, that's why they've been recalled.
Okay. Well, and they don't even get like the classiness from having been in the catacombs.
No, definitely not. No. I'm happy for you. I can't support that choice. I just can't.
I liked the call out that when they emerged from the catacombs with their bushels of mushrooms, they're like, this is the first time these mushrooms have ever seen daylight.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's kind of touching. And now you're
I was like getting a little like misty at that too. They're like,
yeah.
The first time. I was like, and then they went to go cook on a boat.
Yeah.
A non-moving boat, but a boat nonetheless.
That had to be really interesting to cook on, just because it's still on the water, so you're still getting the whole like inability to find your balance. Like, I don't know, that's kind of how I feel whenever I'm on a boat, which is why I so enjoy drinking on boats.
It evens things out.
It just makes the tipsying happen a lot quicker.
Oh, I thought you said it's like you're staggering to the left while the boat's staggering to the right, so everything's
yeah, your equilibrium is equilibrized.
Yes, that was a big kitchen. I mean,
it was. They all had their little pods and everything. It was really cute.
Yeah, it did seem like it was a big kitchen, but at the same time, am I the only person who felt like whenever they were entering into different parts of the boat, it felt like compressed space?
It was expansive and claustrophobic at the same time.
Yes.
It was like, it seemed like looking through the kitchen, it seemed like it went forever, but like all of the passage, like all of the corridors and like the walkways through the kitchen were so tight.
Yeah. That's what I mean to say. Thank you. I'm glad that I wasn't the only one who saw
that.
What else are we talking about?
Everyone was excited about the chef that was
there. Alain Ducasse.
Yeah, they were originally told that they weren't going to be able to see him, even though they're cooking on his boat.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were. And then
you want to make sure you guys were okay. You want to make sure you guys had everything you needed. Like, aw.
It was very sweet of him.
They thought, like, they thought they were being punked. It was nice.
Yeah, they... I'm guessing production didn't tell them, we got rid of the French chef first in the competition.
Yeah, that's kind of what I felt too. I was like, oh, how embarrassing for them.
Yeah. And it was really funny to see Buddha just like freak out because, first it was Gabri because he was just so focused on like, he was like just in it. And then all of a sudden he looked up and was like, whoa. And then Buddha freaked out and was like, look at this camera. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I love the breaking of the fourth wall.
And Sarah's like, I bet they didn't brief him on don't give the chef testants advice. And she's like, what should I do? And he's like, do more of this. And she's like, OK, I will peel the mushrooms. Or at least he's like, would you peel the mushrooms? I would peel the mushrooms. I'm going to peel the mushrooms.
Every single mushroom now.
Yes.
That was so funny.
I'm just really so happy good. For them all.
I just felt, I mean, to be able to cook on his boat and to have it be docked where it was, like, even aside from that, I guess everything in Paris is beautiful. I've never been, but it's on, like, very much at the top of my list, as you can imagine. But their hotel rooms, even with the views that they got, are so gorgeous. Like, it's like no matter where they were, they had a view of the Eiffel Tower.
Well, there are four of them in the city. They're not.
How dare you lie about one of the world's greatest landmarks? How dare? So we get to presenting. Buddha made champignon de Paris en croûte, chicken farce, mushroom puree, and pomme puree. Puree. Voulez-vous le pomme puree? Mais oui, merci beaucoup. This sounded great. Like, honestly, all four of these dishes, like, I need them.
Yeah.
I
need them. This dish looked so gorgeous. And it was one of those dishes that the second that it was put in front of the judges, they just like lapped it up immediately and had nothing to say. So you knew that it was delicious.
Yep.
And I think they kind of like commented on that, like, oh, nobody's talking. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
And then Ali, they didn't call it this, but it was. He made mushrooms three ways, which is always kind of like a little bit of a
risky food.
What's it called? Like a dagger of death, or like a death sign, or a sign of.
Well, because we saw several times this season, we saw like, okay, feature this ingredient. And it was like the chefs who did it, like apples four ways that.
Sure.
So like this, I was actually thinking that he was going to potentially win. Until we got to the pomegranate.
Yeah. I didn't know that he was going to win. It was, I mean, the mushroom steaks looked like, as someone who just loves mushrooms, like those mushroom steaks look really, really good. But you had to wonder about some of the other components that he had and like whether or not they were delivering the type of crunch that he was hoping that they were delivering, or if they were overpowering.
Definitely.
Did you mean marked for death?
Is there like a death wish, or like, I'm not really sure. Okay. I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night.
Scream it out.
And it's going to be like, oh, that's what it is.
Okay.
Text
us.
I don't have it in me. Well, I can't. I'll have to text you, wait until the morning, because I know you don't keep your phone on silent in the middle of the night and then you think something's wrong.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Because I keep my phone on silent all the time. Maybe it's on vibrate. And so I was thinking, oh, I can text somebody anytime. They'll get it when they get it.
Well, don't you remember the one day I was doing admin at like 3 a.m. and you were doing, you were like vacation. And so you and I were texting back and forth because you were in a different time zone. And LaTanya the next day was like, are you too well? Like, my phone was going off last night.
I also got the 6 a.m. text messages the other day that I was just kind of like,
ugh. I'll try to be more cognizant of that. Next season, I've only got a week to irritate you.
So Ali made mushroom steak with mushroom croquette with za'atar and goat cheese, mushroom jus, and pickled mushrooms. Unfortunately, he was eliminated with this dish. It's not that it wasn't good. It's just it wasn't better than the other three.
Mm-hmm.
And he seemed like there was a real textural issue with the pomegranate and the croquette. Like you bite it. I think we heard that like you bite into the soft croquette and there's this like, you know, the pomegranate seeds have that little kind of crunchy kernel inside.
Yeah.
I don't know if he should have just used, because I think he described it as like a kind of a grenadine at one point, which, you know, basically is like, you know, pomegranate juice. So maybe if he had just not done the seeds, but just done the liquid, I don't know. But
yeah, like juice and give that flavor without the, because I don't like eating pomegranate seeds because
really? Of
the that little kernel in the middle.
Yeah, and it's messy, and like I just don't want to.
It stains everything.
Yeah, and Ethan loves eating them, and he'll like open them, and he'll spend like an hour opening it, and then he'll get it all over the carpet, and I get so mad.
It is just really hard to just get to them. You know, there's a lot of work for not very much gain at the end.
The pomegranate juice isn't worth the squeeze.
It's not. It's not.
Kurt.
Sorry. He was so proud for the $10,000 patrons. You would see how proud Kurt was of that. He's preening right now. He is absolutely preening. Sarah, she made mushrooms, more like a mushroom soup, with beef leg marmalade, pears, and pickled mushrooms. She did run into an issue where she had made like a puree of mushroom and pear, but it turned out a little grainy. So she made a last minute decision to pull that and serve pears raw, which honestly, I think people were like, oh, this is like the best part of the dish.
Yeah.
You just made, and she was worried about making a super simple mushroom soup dish, but they absolutely loved the simplicity of it. And I think it was like the benefit of this challenge was because you're dealing with a simple ingredient, like it is almost better to do simple, but just elevated. Mm-hmm. And like, this is very much more up Sarah's alley than last week was. Like, she was able to really stick to her guns here.
Yeah.
Was it Sarah's or Gabri's dish where they were like, there was the one chef who was dining who said, this is the first dish where you really can taste le champignon?
I think it was Sarah's.
Sarah's. Okay.
I was, as a big Sarah stan, I was very pleased by the feedback that her dish had received.
Me too. And this was her first win of the season, her first win of the season, which was really awesome. She's, you know, hitting good at the right time. Gabri, my sweet darling angel. He made me nervous. 70
components.
Yeah, like let's scale it back a bit. Because Sarah was like, I didn't even buy any spices. And Gabri's like, can I use 47 ingredients? Yeah. He's like, Sarah, do you need anything? I have all of them. I bought every single one.
I bought everything that was offered at the grocery store in case anyone needs any help. But there were so many components he didn't even get on the plate, and Padma said it was a blessing in disguise. Yes,
I actually wasn't worried when I saw everything that was left off the plate. I was also thinking, this might actually be a good thing.
Yeah.
And it kind of was.
Yeah. So his dish was a nest in the woods, a potato nest, chile, marita, champignon de peri puree, shiitake broth, and cured egg yolk. I think if he would have gotten the onions on the dish, I believe he had some like spring onions kicking around.
Mm-hmm.
That would have added like a nice color contrast to the dish because everything else was pretty like beige.
If umami was a color, this was it.
Yeah, like it gave me a stomach ache looking at it. Like I know that dish was too rich for me. But yeah, they loved this dish. And I was honestly, not that I was surprised that we didn't lose Gabri here, but it's just, it was so chaotic.
And that's the thing that I think I've had to kind of, in watching this season, because when this season first started, watching Gabri like gave me like heart palpitations.
He still gives me heart palpitations.
It's really hard to watch him work in the kitchen because he's just kind of like a whirling dervish. He's got so much stuff going on and he's just flying from place to place. And there's all these different components. And so, you know, the fact that there are things that he didn't get to add, but they were still talking about how great his dish was, how this was the spiciest dish that he's cooked for them. And also Tom kind of being like, you know, the chicken component of it was so good. Does it overwhelm the mushroom component? So the decisions came down to Ali and Gabri, and which dish was more successful, even if one of them highlighted the mushroom more so than the other.
Yeah. I think it was very, like, I think this was, like, one of the most even eliminations they could have had.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little disappointed to lose Ali here over Gabri.
Yeah.
It was not just for thirst reasons. I just feel like Ali has been so consistent.
Yeah. It was a really, really tough decision that I wasn't sure exactly what they were going to pick, but the judges all seemed, especially the guest judges, so blown away by Gabri's dish and like experiencing something that they maybe haven't experienced before. Like one of the Judges was even like, give them my number and have him come and work in my restaurant right away. That probably lent a lot more to Judge's table than, you know, the pomegranate mistake. And it seems like that was the one component in Ali's dish that was its downfall.
Well, they even said, like, well, Judge's table, like, they were almost at a deadlock on who to win, it seemed, based on their own the four folks at Judge's table. And but it came, I think, with the Tom kind of encapsulated it as, you know, you've got Ali's dish, which highlighted the mushroom element better, but you had Gabri's dish, which just tasted better. And ultimately it was, I'm wondering, like, is Gabri watching this episode and being like, wait a minute, they never told me that guy wanted me to work in his kitchen.
Yeah, right.
What do you do at that point? But,
yep. Yeah. So what do you all think, just in terms of how this competition is going to shake out? Like, does it feel like there's going to be one clear winner?
I feel like it's Buddha's to lose.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, Buddha's my head. Sarah's my heart. Gabri is my backup.
Pantalones.
Those two. Would you say?
Pantalones.
Yes. No. But, you know, that's also biased by track record. I mean, we saw that Sarah won the elimination tonight. There's no saying she can't do it again tomorrow. Buddha mentioned tomorrow, next episode. Finale. You know, Buddha had mentioned that he kind of went right from Houston to here. He hasn't really had a break, even though that hasn't stopped him from winning, what, like three in a row or whatever. So, but it just feels like, Buddha is like pegged to be the winner. Although, but with Sarah, I just feel like I get where Sarah's cooking comes from almost more. Like, I feel there's a little bit more, not like, like I get, I see the soul in Sarah's cooking more than in Buddha's. Buddha's is beautiful and great, but Sarah's feels like it comes from her. I don't know. So I'm struggling to see a situation in which Gabri ends up like coming out of nowhere and winning.
Yeah. It feels to me like it's very much Buddha's to lose. Just in the momentum that he's built up. I mean, there's a little stutter step in terms of that momentum and that Sarah did win this challenge.
Yeah.
But it seems like whenever, you know, Buddha is given a challenge, he just seems to rise above and beyond the competition in such a way that, like, elevates his food, even though his food is already elevated.
Yeah, it's almost like when the challenge... when any given challenge is like issued, there's like a moment where Sarah just kind of like goes inside of herself and is like, okay, I think this is what I'll make. Whereas I almost feel like Buddha has already like come into the competition with an algorithm for, he knows what he's going to make before the competition starts. It's like the moment he hears the description, he's like, oh yeah, I already knew that. If a challenge like this was going to come up, I'm going to do A, B, and C. Like, it almost feels like Buddha has everything figured out already, whereas Sarah comes up with it a little bit more spontaneously.
What do you think, Haley?
I very much feel like it is Buddha's to lose. I think he is always the most prepared for a finale. Like, I think he's known his finale menu since day one.
Yeah.
But I really, and the thing is, I think we haven't seen enough space from Buddha to like see an evolution of cooking style, because this is very much what we saw in Top Chef Houston, and I enjoy it and I love it, and I would be happy with a Buddha win. I just think that like Sarah this season has just had such like a different vibe to her. Like, she isn't as like, I don't know, I feel like in Top Chef Kentucky she like wasn't my favorite. Like, there was something about her that season that just I didn't totally connect with. Where this, it just feels like she's let that go and she's just having a good time. when she got eliminated, she was sad, but she was like, that's okay. Like, I'm still going to be doing what I'm doing. And she was able to come back on that. And like, she was able to pick up momentum. She wasn't like a, you know, like the revolving door. It feels like she never left. So I think Sarah winning would be satisfying. I hate to say it. I don't think a Gabriel win would be particularly satisfying. Because it doesn't feel like we've seen like a continuous build to this point. Like, I feel like it's been chaotic, and he's gotten a couple lucky breaks with partnerships. And like, obviously he's a very talented chef, like very, very talented. I just wonder what it's going to be like in the finale, if he's going to be able to execute his finale menu the way he wants to.
So two things. I think that the disconnect with Sarah in the first time that we saw her in the competition was that she seemed to feel that she had something to prove to everyone
around
her.
That's what it is, for sure.
Yeah.
And this time she was able just to really just revel in being there.
Yeah. And like doing things on her terms. And having something. Like, I know that we've talked about this before, but having something as grounding as like having to pump every day and like send your milk back to your family has to like take your head a little bit out of the competition in a way that could be good for you.
Yeah. Because I don't believe she had any kids when she competed in Top Chef Kentucky. And now she has two.
Yeah. For Gabri, though, I could see a satisfying story for his win. I just think that we got to it very late.
Yeah.
So him talking about this episode, kind of cooking his way out of the most dangerous neighborhood like to live in, or one of the most dangerous neighborhoods in Mexico to live in. And, you know, starting at such a young age to try to get himself out of like this violent world and doing that by cooking, and then being like the cat with more than nine lives at this point, because he's been on the bottom several times and he's always been able to catapult himself back up to the top, and doing food that is unexpected, not necessarily unexpected from someone who's won Top Chef, but just like flavor combinations maybe that you don't see very often in competitions like these, or that other people wouldn't necessarily be able to deliver. So I can see it being a real kind of like, I don't want to say rags to riches, because that's so like Western, like the bent of that is just so like classist in a way, but like, It is very important to recognize the class struggles that someone like Gabri has had to deal with in order to get to a place in a finale of Top Chef International All-Stars like this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are all fantastic points. And I think Gabri is just such a wonderful character, and I'm glad that he's been able to grace our screens the entire time. You know, just him like really reveling in being in Paris. I thought that was just so like humanizing, I guess. Like, it's like a really special story to see. Like, he's not numb to it. Mm-hmm. Where sometimes, like, I like Buddha a lot. Sometimes he feels a little numb to like some of the cool stuff. And we've seen him geek out at some of the guest chefs, but sometimes it's a little like, where Gabri is like always excited about everything.
Yeah. It's a really interesting group of three people. So I'm excited to see what type of food they're going to produce in the end. And I'm still happy to have a draft pick in. Just one.
How dare you rub it in like that?
Hey, you know that it's all love with us, Haley.
All love and some tears on my end. But what are you going to do? That's the same in most of my relationships, if we're being honest with everyone involved.
And we should be. We should be honest.
So what did you eat this week, Kurt?
You know what? There wasn't a lot exciting that I ate this week. like I'm going in for a medical procedure on Friday, so I actually have to limit what I'm eating this week. So definitely not gonna definitely not gonna be anything fun to talk about through Friday, but after Friday, oh boy, there's a food truck festival I'm going to on Saturday. I'm looking forward to the meal kit that I'm getting this week. I guess last week I did make a, since we last spoke, I made a couple Korean dishes through a meal kit. One was kind of just a Korean pork bowl, which was fine and tasty. Yeah, but not a lot to write home about this week. I did have a wild mushroom bisque. I don't know if they were Champignon de Paris involved, but that was quite tasty. The only other thing I really want to call out is that, like, one of my favorite baking shows, season 2 starts tonight, Crime Scene Kitchen, which is kind of cool. I recommend people watch it. I think it's on Fox, hosted by Joel McHale, at least the last season was. Chef Curtis Stone is in it. I'm trying to think of the other judge. But basically, it's like these, you know, teams of two have to go into a kitchen in which some sort of dessert was baked. And based on, like, what they find there, like which ingredients are partially used and what's in the garbage and, like, which cooking implements are in the dishwasher, they have to kind of figure out what it is that was made and then recreate it themselves. And so at the end, you have, like, you know, three people making a, you know, blackberry cobbler and one person making a blackberry cheesecake. And so you get judged on how correct you were on what was made. And amongst those who were correct, whoever made the best version of it wins. So Crime Scene Kitchen, high recommend. But the premiere episode is tonight, Monday night. So yeah, I'll just toss that out there since they don't have a lot of food to talk about.
LaTanya, what was on your menu this week?
So I was really craving some soul food and I wanted to order from Ina May again, but it's so expensive. The only way that I was able to justify it to myself was that I had ordered lunch and they just completely brought it to a different, they delivered the food to a completely different apartment and took a nice picture of it featuring the number of the apartment, but it just wasn't my apartment. So that was like $30, $34 in credits that I was able to get. So I was like, all right, Ina May it is. I'm getting some soul food. So I decided to get some greens. When I tell you that the greens, so it's greens with ham hocks, right? But like every time you order greens, they're like greens with whatever, with smoked turkey, greens with whatever. But you normally get greens and like essence of whatever that meat might have been. Like maybe there's like a sliver of that meat in the greens. These greens actually had like full chunks of ham hock in them, which made me so, so excited. I was very happy about that. I got some mac and cheese because how could you not? And then I got something that I got like a corn mac choy dish. I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly. MAQUECHOUX. Mak Chu. I don't know. But then they had this thing that they called surf and turf, which is like they prepare oysters in a certain way, almost like Rockefeller oysters, but then they put beef short rib on top of them. And I was like questioning my own sanity when I saw that this was a dish and then questioning whether or not I was going to enjoy it. But then when I actually tasted it, it was like nothing I had ever tasted before. The only like small thing I would say is that for me, it was a bit too salty on the short rib side in particular, but the oysters were really well done. So that was delicious. Then I just had a real craving for some sweet tea. So I made that happen. That was exciting and fun times had by all. I got barbecue for the first time from this place called Offset Barbecue. And they just have a plate of pickled things. So it's like actual pickles, pickled carrots, pickled onions. And then there was pickled something else, but it's like a whole plate of pickles that I enjoyed while I was sitting through this very long meeting about debate rules for the American Debate Association. It was just like amending rules for like 3.5 hours. And I was just sitting there, not on camera, eating some pickles.
I still find it amazing that you and I both lived in Chicago, and we like the places that we both ate are like two completely separate circles of a Venn diagram that don't overlap. Like all the, like I was like, oh, she went to a new place. Let this be a place that I've been to. Nope.
No.
Meanwhile, I'm going to like crisp Korean chicken and Flubadub Chubbs hot dog shack. I wish that was the shack part. Isn't
I wish is that, it, that was a place.
It is.
It is.
It is. The hot dog shack.
Flubadub Chubbs.
Flubadub Chubbs. It's an amazing hot dog and burger place that's in East Lakeview.
I don't get out nearly enough. I feel like if you came to visit me, I would have an incentive to get out of my home and not just have things delivered to me.
But then we'd have to figure out, like, are we going to the place, like, do we do like a dining crawl, like a progressive dinner where we alternate which restaurants we go to?
Like, listen, something from use. If you're coming to hang out, I am down for whatever. Like, I am very able to get myself to stay up past midnight under situations where friends are.
I was going to say midnight.
That's.
I stayed out until like 2 a.m. for that wedding because there was an after party.
I had a friend text me this weekend at 12:17 being like, hey, I'm at this bar in your hometown. You should come. And I was like, obviously, I was asleep for multiple hours by that point. You think I'm leaving my home after 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time? It's not happening.
That's the reason I didn't get to hang out with Asia when she had the layover in Chicago, because she was just in line to get her hotel voucher at 9:30 p.m. And I was like, oh, sweetie, I am so old.
I love you, but it's not happening.
Yeah, and I don't live close to O'Hare.
Oh yeah, then
who does?
I don't want to brag, but I did hang out with Asia that week.
I know you did. It is bragging.
What did I eat this week? Let's ask myself. I went to an event this weekend, one of the events I used to work for. And now I can just go as a real person and not as a staff member. It was fantastic. I ate some delicious tacos, had some nice wine cocktails, and ate some delicious dipped cheesecake. That was a great time. I made some cheese and chive biscuits this weekend too, because my chives are blooming. They are looking fantastic. So I had to use some of them up. What else did I eat? Oh, I made some pizza this week. Like, I made my own dough. Oh, we tried to do it. We got a new barbecue a couple of weeks ago, so I've been experimenting with what I can manage on the barbecue. So I tried the pizza on the barbecue, but I think I had the grill up too hot, so it like didn't get as crispy on the top as I would have liked, and it got a little burnt on the bottom. And also, maybe I didn't roll it out enough, but you know, it's each their own. I get tired of rolling them out. You know what I mean? Like, I get tired of rolling things out. Other than that, nothing too crazy. Not really.
Yeah, it's been a slow
food week.
Yeah.
Slow food week. I had some Korean chicken fried cauliflower, which was delicious.
That sounds good.
But yeah, other than that, nothing too crazy. Nothing super duper crazy, you know.
Saving all our love for the finale.
Yeah, I've eaten a lot of fries this week in different iterations, and I'm thrilled about that, but it has been a lot of fries.
Yeah, my meal kit, I ordered a big batch Korean barbecue. It was like a surcharge of like $10 for it. And it's just like a bunch of like Korean barbecue with all the fixings. So I'm looking forward to hitting that. And then, like I said, I'll report back on the food truck festival, that situation.
Should be good. we hope, I'll speak for Haley here, that your procedure goes well.
Oh, thank you.
I definitely hope that as well. Yeah, I'm in on that hoping.
I figured that would be a safe, one safe time to speak for Haley.
Yeah, live on the edge.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, folks, anything else about this episode?
Nope, we're going to our final three, and it'll be our last episode of Padma.
I can't believe it. Oh, I'm going to cry. Don't even say that. I'm going to cry.
I can't even think about it.
Is there going to be any sort of like end of episode tribute?
I think so.
I will remember you.
Yeah. Vitamin C's graduation song.
Yes.
Yeah. They Oh, I'm just embarrassed. I know that one.
Why would you be embarrassed? Everybody knows that song.
Everyone knows it.
But also at the same time, it would have to be like a post credit thing because I don't think they want to like overshadow the winner. So it may be like a postscript sort of thing, like an end credit. Stay through the credits.
Have you all watched Taste the Nation?
We watched the first season for it was 2020 and we had nothing else going
after,
on. Just podcasted about food every week.
Yeah, I think we picked like a couple episodes to focus on because I don't think we watched it all. And I watched it with Josh and Emily. Like they streamed it and we watched it together because at the time I didn't have Hulu. I think it was on.
Okay. It is on Hulu.
Yeah, I don't know if I have like a really easy way to watch it in Canada.
There's another show that I'm excited about watching at some point this week that's called Searching for Soul Food. It's also on Hulu.
Is it S-O-U-L or S-E-O-U-L?
S-O-U-L.
Okay. I like Korean food. I was saying.
No, I know. It follows Chef Alyssa Reynolds as she discovers what soul food looks like around the world.
I think I saw a preview of that. I can't remember where, but that sounds familiar.
It says international journeys of Chef Reynolds exploring Mississippi, Oklahoma, Appalachia, South Africa, Italy, Jamaica, Peru, and LA.
I love that.
So that, just in case you all are looking for more fooding to watch, that's my little plug for that.
I'm adding it to the list. All right. Well, Kurt, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Kurt Clark with two C's. Instagram's probably the place I'm most active and most likely to like accept people, random strangers adding me.
Latanya, what do you have going on?
A few things. Josh Wiggler and I we can't quit each other, basically, nor can we quit Versus. So we still have a lot of thoughts about the Succession finale, series finale. So we are going to start taking that show on the road and putting it up against other series finales of noted shows, starting with HBO shows. So we're going to do Succession versus the much maligned Game of Thrones finale, which I just watched again for the first time in a very long time. And still ridiculous. So that'll be fun. But we're going to go through, like, I think we're going to talk about lots of different shows through this lens. 6 Feet Under, The Sopranos among them. So if you're interested in any of those like HBO juggernauts and you still have some thoughts about the Succession finale, don't worry, because we very much have you. Love and Death and Barry have both ended. So if you want to check out the last episodes of those where I did Barry with Mike Bloom and then I did Love and Death with Sarah Carradine, feel free to check those out. They're also going to be on the HBO feed. And you can follow me on Twitter at LK Starks and on Instagram at Stormborn1222 for even more of what I'm up to.
Just for the record, the 6 Feet Under series finale still gives me goosebumps. Like, I think I watched like the last 15 minutes, like 12 times. Like it's an amazing one. Haley, how about you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_. And of course, you can check out what I'm reading over my Bookstagram at The Strong Library. And if you want to hear more of my voice, well, you can do so in the Bravo feed talking about Vanderpump Rules. We have one episode left of that. And then Grease Leader and I got together this weekend to talk about the season finale of Taskmaster. Kurt, and you know what? Actually, I was thinking after I finished that podcast, have I ever bullied you into watching that show?
Taskmaster? Yes. Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. Phew. Because I was like, Kurt would love this show. What have I been doing? Anyway, okay. So
I think we actually just talked last week about how I watched it because of you.
Okay, well, good. Because I was like, he needs to watch this if he hasn't watched it. Okay, great. Yeah, and other than that, I'm just kicking around. So yeah, until next time, pack your knives and go. Bye.
Bye.